Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to This is the Place, a podcast series from The Common magazine on the New Books Network. The Common publishes literature and art with a modern sense of place. I'm Emily Everett, managing editor of the magazine and host of the channel. Today, we'll be talking to Jose Hernandez Diaz about his poem, Ode to a California Neck Tattoo, which appeared in issue 21 of The Common. Jose Hernandez Diaz is a 2017 NEA Poetry Fellow. He is the author of the 2020 book, The Fire Eater. His work appears in the American Poetry Review, Boulevard, the Cincinnati Review, the Georgia Review, the Iowa Review, The Nation, Poetry, and the Best American Non-Required Reading 2011. Currently, he is an associate editor at Frontier Poetry and Palette Poetry. He is from Southern California. Jose Hernandez Diaz, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We always like to start off by setting the scene. Would you tell us where you're calling from and describe for our listeners what it's like there?
Well, I'm calling from Norwalk, California. It's a working class Latinx suburb in Southeast Los Angeles County.
That sounds great. And you said it's a hot one there today?
Yeah, it's supposed to be 93 today. So August is usually the hottest month in LA. Mm-hmm.
Would you start us off by reading your poem from issue 21?
Sure.
Thanks.
This is Ode to a California Neck Tattoo. A man in a Chicano Batman shirt got a tattoo of the state of California on his neck. He rode his longboard to the tattoo parlor early in the morning. This is going to be his third tattoo. He also had a tattoo of palm trees on his chest and a skeleton on a surfboard on his calf. He smoked a cigarette as he arrived at the shop. Everything went smoothly. It didn't hurt much. He was a little worried he might be perceived as a gangster, but he knew real gangsters could tell the difference between soldiers and civilians. He rode his longboard home. The sun peeked through the fog. The man in a Chicano Batman shirt was born in Southern California. He went to college in Northern California. He never lived anywhere else. He didn't want to. Couldn't imagine living in a place that didn't have Mexican Americans. He wasn't arrogant about it. He just loved the sunshine and the ocean and the tacos and the murals to La Virgen de Guadalupe.
Thanks for reading that. I would love to know how you came to write this poem. Like, what inspired it?
Well, I had been wanting to get a tattoo, and I still want to get a tattoo, but I don't have any tattoos.
Oh, I see.
So this was sort of inspired by, you know, wanting to get a tattoo, but ultimately not wanting to deal with the finality of it. Mm-hmm. And also wanting to write an ode to California in the form of, you know, the neck tattoo, which I think is just so, you know, very in your face in terms of your pride for California.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen California neck tattoos out in the wild?
I have actually, yeah.
Yeah,
over here in LA County, there's quite a few you see around.
I love that you said it was sort of an ode to California, because that was sort of how I read it as well. As you might remember, The Common publishes work with a strong sense of place. That's sort of our focus as a magazine. Right. And this did feel like a very place-based poem to me. And it seemed to me that it wasn't just about California, the place, but also this sort of California way of life, like a state of being. Was that your intention, or is it more complicated than that?
Yeah, no, I think it is, with the longboard and the beach and the sunshine and everything, the murals, the tacos. I think it was a way to write about place, just by painting the scene, you know?
Yeah, it's nice. I always love work where we go on sort of a journey with the character, and I feel like we do that. We sort of go to the tattoo parlor and then go home. I love how casual this poem feels too. These sort of short, straightforward, declarative sentences. It almost feels like Southern California to me, that sort of laid back vibe. How do you make choices like that on the sentence level when you're writing? Is it sort of natural, like a stream of consciousness, or is it like a very concerted effort?
It's both. You know, I think if you meet me in person, you'll probably say, this guy's a little, you know, this guy's very casual and very laid back and almost seems not too excited or something. So I think my work is also very stripped down in terms of the writing, deadpan or direct, I think. Also, I think it's a way of an artistic way of being not so ornate with it, you know, mm-hmm. just to the essentials. And also, I think in terms of the opposite end of being deadpan, I think you can be subtle with it also. So I think there are a few advantages of that style.
Yeah, to me it feels very accessible, you know, like not as, you know, inaccessible as some kinds of poetry can be, where it feels like you have to be, you know, a certain type of person or a certain type of reader to really get what's going on there.
Definitely. And I think that's what initially drew me to literature in high school when I was reading, we were reading The Catcher in the Rye. And before that, I had, you know, honestly, I probably didn't read any books. I would just somehow write essays on books that I didn't read. And The Catcher in the Rye spoke to me because it was like everyday mundane language, and
right,
it was like not so pretentious, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. How did you start writing prose poetry specifically? Is there something about it that appeals to you more than verse poetry?
Yeah, I think there's more, you know, as I was saying, the casual, the mundane, the not so bow tie poetry, you know, so serious. And also, I was reading James Tate in graduate school. I didn't know what prose poetry was at that point. And the cover of his book spoke to me. It looked surreal, and I was into Dali and like abstract graffiti and things like that. Mm-hmm. So the cover spoke to me, and I read it, and it was like it was stripped down and funny and ironic, and yet he had won so many awards, like the Pulitzer, and so I was able to see that you could be, you know, casual or mundane, humorous, and yet still be taken seriously.
Yeah, that's such a great lesson. Did you plan to go to school for writing or poetry, or were you studying something else?
Well, I was an English major at UC Berkeley, and I took some poetry classes, and those were my favorite. And so naturally went to the MFA.
That's interesting. So I write flash fiction, and sometimes I feel like the line between flash and prose poetry is sort of a blurry one. How do you think we draw that line, or is it sort of unimportant to draw that line?
Yeah, I think I just try to keep it simple in terms of those differences. Like prose poetry obviously doesn't have line breaks, and poetry verse does, and flash fiction tends to be longer and more plot driven, and So I think certain works, longer prose poems can be confusing in terms of is it flash fiction, but I don't think it's very important to draw lines, or I think that's more academic type of, you know, distinction.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Some of your poetry explores what I would call more surreal territory, sort of playing with absurdity and folklore. Can you talk about that? What draws you to surrealism?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of my, some of my work tends to be about real life and growing up in a working class neighborhood and, you know, brothers and gangs and, you know, different things and more realistic things. So I think surrealism and absurdity, absurdism, they kind of appeal to me in the sense of it was like an escape, you know, and you can use your imagination and write about dreams and a bit of horror and fantasy mixed in. So it was sort of like an escape, I think. Mm-hmm.
I would love to have you read a poem that you published last year in Poetry Magazine called Pan Dulce, that is in verse. Would you read that for us?
Yes. Pan Dulce. My niece calls me from my brother-in-law's phone while I'm getting ready to wash dishes. I pick up. She says she needs to talk to her grandfather. I tell her that her grandfather just went to sleep and gave specific instructions not to wake him. She says to wake him up, she needs to talk to him. I say okay and hope it's not something bad. She speaks to her grandfather in English. My dad responds to her in broken English, but she can't really understand him. He gives me back the phone, frustrated. I ask her what's wrong. She says her school project is to ask a grandparent to tell them an uplifting story. I tell her I'll ask him in Spanish and then call her back and tell her the story. I tell Dad, Natalia quiere saber un cuento del triunfo, algo de triunfar, I tell him, about your childhood. He says he doesn't have a story. I tell him, like a story when I submitted to a magazine for 4 years, and on the fifth year got in. He nods his head. Okay, he says. Dad proceeds to tell me about his childhood when he was 7 or 8 years old. He says his father taught him how to make pan dulce from scratch. He says he felt proud about making the bread, and after they baked it, they sold it in the street. I tell him that's a perfect story and that pan dulce is my favorite. He nods again. Before I call my niece back, I finish washing the dishes, then rush to my laptop to write this poem.
Thanks so much for reading that. So when I look at that poem, it looks to me like it's in verse, but it still has a very prosy feeling about it. Could you humor me? Like, how do you decide what form to put a poem in, especially like for someone like you who could choose to put it in verse or in prose? Is it, does it just how it sounds, or does it just happen?
No, I think going into the poem, if it's something about my life, autobiographical, I tend to write in verse, linear verse. And when I'm working with surrealism or absurdism, I usually use prose poetry.
Interesting. So, do you have a thought about why that is?
Well, I think in prose poetry, there's more room for imagination and you know, telling an absurd tale, you know, with linear verse. I think that's just what I read more growing up, was linear verse. And I would usually see it in couplets, and I think I was influenced by that.
There's a really nice self-awareness in that poem, sort of, you know, a storytelling feel, like your father choosing which story to tell and then you choosing to write the story down in a poem. And I really love that. Do you feel like there's a divide between sort of what you do as a poet and sort of where you came from, or does it not feel like a separation at all?
Well, in my linear verse, it's pretty much about my life, you know, my family life, which is my family's most important thing in my life. And so, you know, a lot of the sacrifices my parents did immigrating over here and, you know, being a first generation Mexican-American and low income, working class. So a lot of that goes into my linear verse, the autobiographical work. So yeah, you know, it's very hard to separate that. But with the prose poetry, I just feel the surreal prose poetry, I just feel like it can be written by anybody, and it's just more like its own world, its own genre, and a bit more imagination goes in the sense of creating new worlds.
That makes sense. One thing I always ask poets, because I'm sort of fascinated by it, what does it look like to edit a poem? How do you work through what a poem needs? Like, is there a set process, or is each one different?
Well, yeah, each one is different, but they tend to be like 90%. Doesn't need much editing, maybe a little bit here and there for pace or clarity or sound, rhythm, that type of thing. When I just read it out loud and sort of play it by ear. I think I'm sort of like a guitarist that taught himself how to play or something like that, you know, like, I don't know if I'm formally trained or not, but, so the editing, tends to be minimal.
So you might read a poem out loud and hear something that you feel like could be better, could sound better, could flow better, could read more clearly,
yes,
or something,
yes,
like
exactly.
That.
And also, since as we mentioned, the work tends to be stripped down and it's aesthetic, there's usually not a lot of need for editing, or maybe even to strip it down even more, you know?
Mm-hmm. So your first drafts are quite a bit like your final drafts.
Typically, I mean, you know, a word here and there.
That's interesting. I often work like that, but I feel like most writers don't.
No, but also most writing tends to be of the, you know, ornate and highly decorated, I think.
Right.
But I think Dean Young said one time, you know, just because the poem took you 7 weeks to write doesn't necessarily mean it's better than what I wrote in 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah, I definitely find that to be true. Yeah. Sometimes I find it kind of disconcerting, because I think as writers, we all tell ourselves that it's just about putting the work in. It's just about putting the time in and sitting down and doing it. But we all also have those moments where something just came together and you don't know why, and you couldn't recreate it if you tried. And yeah, sometimes it makes me feel a little bit lost. Like, I don't know why this works, but it does.
Yeah, sometimes they just come from, you know, the depths of the subconscious, and, you know, they just come randomly. So it's more about that, like where it comes from, as opposed to necessarily the language or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I would think that would be especially true of poetry.
Especially surrealism, I think, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know that you teach, and I saw that you're teaching an online course about prose poetry, sort of an introduction and like a history of it. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, it's with Litro Magazine in the UK, and it's all online. And classes will begin in October. You can register today. It's 4 weeks, so there's four sessions on Saturdays for 1 hour. I think it might be an hour and a half this year, this in October. And yeah, it's a history of prose poetry, but it's mostly generative workshop where I'll be giving writing prompts for prose poetry.
Right. So do you think it's sort of like a combination of sort of reading some prose poetry and then sort of reacting to it and generating from there?
Yes, definitely. Huh. And I try to get prompts that are very interactive and get you going.
That sounds great. Do you do a lot of teaching usually, or is that sort of like less common for you?
No, this is new to me.
Oh, okay.
This is my first year where I started teaching online, so.
That's great. It's so much easier to teach now that we're all online.
Yeah, especially for us introverts.
Yeah, I feel that way too.
Yeah.
One last question we always ask everyone. What else are you working on now? What's next from you?
Well, right now I got two full-length manuscripts that I'm submitting.
Wow.
The Parachutist and The Magician. And I'm working with Frontier Poetry as well. Editing, so send us a submission, and we've always got contests going or regular free submissions as well.
That's great. We can definitely link to the magazines you work at in the comments so that people can submit. That sounds great. Jose Hernandez Diaz, thanks so much for joining us. It's been so great to talk with you.
Thanks for having me. A pleasure.
Listeners, you can read Jose's poems and subscribe to the latest issue at thecommononline.org.